thank Ken Graham for his excellent research that he has done on the subject of sacred names. What is God's name? In some church areas, it hasn't been affected nearly as much here, but there are groups that have tried to present some convincing arguments to our memberships that we are failing to pronounce and refer to God in the proper and respectful way because we do not use his, quote, proper name, end quote. And therefore, we are sinning because we don't use his name properly. I believe it's a plot to try to just gain members and converts to their church. But anyway, hopefully this information that I'm going to cover today is a subject that may be boring to you, but I hope that you find a great deal of information out about it and serve as a handy reference perhaps for you. The Bible reveals actually a number of names for God. Some of those we will go through today. But some people erroneously assume that his name is Jehovah. And according to Webster's Dictionary, under Jehovah, it says an erroneous rendering of the ineffable, which means inexpressible, name J-H-V-H, also transliterated into English as Y-H-V-H, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, and etc. in the Hebrew Scripture. From Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary adds this, the divine name Yahweh is usually translated Lord in English versions of the Bible because it became a practice in the late Old Testament Judaism not to pronounce the sacred name YHWH, but to say instead, my Lord, or Adonai. The practice still is used today in the synagogues. They refuse to say the name of God. When the vowels of Adonai were attached to the consonants of YHWH in the medieval period, the word Jehovah resulted, and I'll talk about that a little later, where that came from. Today, many Christians use the word Yahweh, the more original pronunciation, not hesitating to name the divine name since Jesus taught believers to speak in a familiar way to God, which we will get into. In Acts, the 4th chapter and verse 12, we find a statement, very interesting statement by Luke, Acts 4 and verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What name is this that we have to be saved by? Are names really important? Yes, they are. Are sacred names important? Absolutely. Are individual names important? I think when we name our children, we should do so with forethought, with prayer, because many times they grow up to live what their name means. The Bible places a great deal of significance, actually, on names. We have occasions in the Bible where God himself changed people's names to reflect their nature, their character, and their future. When someone comes in another person's name, or he or she then acts on their authority. They are there to represent them like ambassadors that we have in the United States that go to various countries. They go there to act by the authority of the government of the United States of America. God changed the names of many different of the patriarchs in the Old Testament in order to reflect their true nature and character. Yet he did not, and I think this is interesting, he did not change their name into another language, but rather into their native language. He took their name and then changed it to a different name in their native language. Of course, you're familiar with Abraham or Abram. His name was changed to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. Jacob's name was changed, which meant supplanter. It was changed to Israel, meaning prevailer with God. But both were changed within their own native tongue, not into another language. The Son, Jesus Christ, came in the Father's name. What is that name? Unless you too bear that name of your heavenly Father, then you are not God's son, and you are not an heir to God. Is it a sin to use the name, quote, Jesus Christ, or call his people the church? Is it a sin to call them the, quote, church of God, end quote? Is the true name of our heavenly Father, the Hebrew YHWH in English? Must we use Yahweh or Yahweh or Jehovah or however it's pronounced, and I'll get into a little bit of detail about that later, YHWH or YHVH or JHWH, whatever, instead of, quote, God, G-O-D, because the sacred names people teach that the word G-O-D comes from paganism, and it is a sin to actually say God, that it that you should never address God by the name or title of God. Just as the original New Testament was written in Greek, with the possibility exception of Matthew and the book of Hebrews, which were apparently both written, the original was written in Hebrew, and then Luke like changed the gospel of Matthew into Greek and so forth. But anyway, the Old Testament original books were virtually all written in Hebrew. We're going to see later that there is some Aramaic in both the Old and the New Testament, and there is some Chaldean in the Old Testament. But primarily, nearly every book is written in the original Hebrew. According to the church history of Eusebius, in the sixth book, chapter 14, we read the following. The epistle to the Hebrews is the work of Paul, and it was written to the Hebrews in the Hebrew language, which apparently is probably true, even though what we have and transcribed into English was translated from the Greek language, but Luke translated it carefully and published it for the Greeks. And hence, the same style of expression is found in this epistle as it is in the book of Acts, which of course was written by Luke. History shows us that the order in order for Paul to influence the religiously sensitive Jews, his audience of the day, and the Gentiles, Paul wrote his epistle to the Hebrews in the Hebrew tongue. But it was inspired to be translated by Luke and published for the Greeks in the Greek language. Luke's Greek translation is the one that we now use to have our modern day English version of the Bible. That is the one that was canonized, and I feel that God preserved for us today. The Hebrew version is lost. No one has a copy of that. We've never seen it. It's never been discovered. If it's in existence, nobody knows about it. Eusebius also records for us in chapter 25 and book 6 that the first gospel, Matthew, among the four gospels, which are the only disputable ones in the church of God under heaven. He wrote, the first was published by Matthew, who was once a publican, but afterwards an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it was prepared for the converts from Judaism and published in the Hebrew language. Now, we don't know for certain that it was written first in Hebrew, but if Eusebius was correct, then it was, and then later, again, translated into Greek, and the Greek is what God inspired to be passed down. But it is possible. Jerome tells us that in the lives of illustrious men in chapter 3, sound like a modern-day movie, that Matthew's gospel was translated into Greek language for the whole church, so that the church could understand it. The Greek version, like I said, is the one that was inspired to be canonized and to be preserved and passed down for us today. According to F.F. Bruce's book, The Book and the Parchments, the Arabic version of the Bible which we have today, is admittedly, he says, a translation from the Greek, despite what some mistakenly claim, because some say that the Bible was originally written in Arabic, which it was not, but then that they translated it into Greek, but it's just the other way around. The Arabic Aramaic comes from the Greek translation. It's simple to prove that Aramaic was not the original language. Notice Mark 15 and verse 34. In English it says, "In the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now Jesus spoke Aramaic, and I think, as I'll point out later, he spoke Greek as well, but his tongue that the apostles and he and others used was Aramaic. But look carefully at the last half of verse 34 here, because it proves that Mark, which was probably the first gospel written, actually it was written before Matthew and the others as well, that Mark was writing this gospel, including the final words of Jesus, from his own mouth. That, in other words, this is what Christ said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And so he said, this is what he said, which is translated into Aramaic so that the audience would understand. And that's why he said then, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? So these words were recorded in a different language from the one that Jesus spoke. Jesus' own words are quoted then from the Aramaic, which he spoke to his disciples, but it was translated then into Greek so that they could understand it. If Aramaic were the original language of the New Testament, then they would not have needed to insert the Aramaic words into the text at all, because all the Aramaic people would have understood it. He wouldn't have had to say, well, now to translate this Greek, we're going to put it in Aramaic. But they would already know what it meant. So the comment found in the King James Version, which says, which is being interpreted, would not have been necessary, period, because again, they would have understood. That certainly would not be necessary. The Aramaic New Testament repeats the Greek words exactly, and this proves, among many other proofs, that the Aramaic could not have been the original language of the New Testament. Aramaic words are quoted commonly and translated into Greek in the New Testament for the Greek-speaking people. In most cases, those Aramaic words are then translated from the Greek back into Aramaic New Testament, which was not the original. In John 1 and verse 41, John 1 and verse 41, we find that the Greek-speaking audience were not generally familiar with the meaning of the Hebrew word messiahs, which means the anointed. They were familiar with the Greek word messias, and that's the Greek spelling of the Hebrew word messiahs. And most Greeks were familiar with the Greek word, of course, but not the Hebrew. So John translates it into Greek, and the word Christos, that means then in the Greek, the anointed one. So they both said the same thing. They both said the anointed one, but he puts it in their native tongue of the Greek. Let's look at a few other names of God as I get into this section, because the New Testament contains several names for the Creator. Likewise, the Old Testament contains many names for the Creator. Some individuals and groups have insinuated that they're not names, that they're just titles, that it's just a form of respect or something that God has, or a quality of his, or something to do with his character. but not really part of his real name, and that the Creator's only true name is the Greek tetragrammaton, YHWH. And that is the only name that we can use in referring to our Creator. This argument focuses on the English word Lord, L-O-R-D, that is used in the Old Testament for YHWH. The other names of God which appear in the Old Testament and the New Testament are not just titles, as it is sometimes alleged by these groups. God was also known by another name previous to Exodus 3 and verse 15, where God revealed himself to Moses as YHWH. And apparently this name was not known, even though it does appear in Scripture before then, but it was not he was not known by that name, as he says, that it was a name according to the Bible, not a title. Notice Exodus 6 and verse 3. God tells Moses that he was not known by YHWH to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, but by the name of El Shaddai or El Shaddai or El Shaddi. That was his name that he was known by. So if we must refer to God by his name, then perhaps we should take the first name, the covenant name that he made with Abraham, which was El Shaddai. And I mean that sarcastically. But anyway, but Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the others prior to the time of Moses did not know YHWH. And the reason I say that, nobody knows how it's pronounced. No one. There is no human being, no Jew, no anybody that knows how that was pronounced. I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I'm going to go through a little of the history of how that was passed down. So I'll just say that and that's it. So I just say the letters YHWH because we cannot pronounce a word without vowels. And YHWH is only consonants and it cannot be pronounced. And they knew God as Elohim, but also the name of El Shaddai. In Exodus 3 and verse 15, when we look at the verse, Hebrew word by Hebrew word, the name for God in this verse is Elohim, or El Amon, I believe is the Jewish pronunciation of it. Throughout, used exclusively, and the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. When the translators of the Old Testament came across the YHWH, they translated it as Lord in all caps. When they came across the term for Adonai, they translated it with a capital L and then small O and RD. So when you see that in the Bible, you can distinguish which one is being translated, whether it's all caps or not. But they knew, if we only address God by YHWH, then I guess Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not be in God's kingdom, because that name, whatever YHWH is, had not been revealed to them that God plainly said himself. They knew God as Elohim. They knew God by the term of El Shaddai, but they did not know God by YHWH. The name for God in this verse of Exodus 3:15 is Elohim or El Amon. So clearly El Shaddai is not the only name that can be used to refer to God, nor is YHWH. I mentioned earlier that the Old Testament was almost all written in Hebrew, but there are a few portions of the Old Testament that contain Aramaic. There's some that even contains Chaldean, but where the Aramaic is the original language rather than the Hebrew, such as Daniel 2, 4 through 7 through 28, Ezra 4, 8 through 6, verse 18, and Ezra 7, 12 through 26. Nowhere in these passages that is written in the Aramaic do we find the Hebrew word for the deity, YHWH. When it refers to God, every time it refers to it in the Aramaic terms of Ella or Elyon. One of those two, Ella or Elyon, is referred to in the Aramaic. So we find that by this time, the language of the Israelitish people was basically Aramaic. They had gotten away from the original Hebrew. And so we find God called then by his Aramaic name, Ella, or Eloah, or Leah. And the words Elohim, or Yahweh, or YHWH, were not used very much from then on, not nearly as frequently. Again, in the New Testament, we have many passages like Mark 9 and verse 39. Mark 9 and verse 39. And it says, "But Jesus said, do not forbid them, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." It's most likely, again, that the spoken language was Aramaic. That's what Christ and the disciples, the apostles, spoke in most of the time. And Jesus does say that they did these miracles in his Aramaic name, not a Hebrew name. Someone actually during this time, someone that verbalized when they knew how to pronounce it, YHWH at that time, would have been jailed, they would have been arrested, and probably stoned, because the Jews came to the conclusion that YHWH was so holy that it was not fit for a human being to utter the sound. And so anybody that, quote, pronounced the name of God would immediately be put to death, which was ordered by the Sanhedrin and was carried out and supported by then, and the sentence carried out by the Romans. So how is it possible that God would perform miracles in this undoubtedly Aramaic name of Jesus Christ if he only honors the Hebrew name, YHWH? Would Christ have allowed such a thing as his name and the name of the Father other than YHWH? Or would his Father back up and support such a thing if God did not want another name to be used to honor him and to be called by any other name other than YHWH? This example is repeated numerous times in the New Testament. We talked about Aramaic, but let's talk about for a moment the Hebrew language itself. The Old Testament was preserved for centuries and consisted only of consonants, though semiconsonants were added later to indicate certain vowel sounds, long vowels especially. We cannot pronounce a word, as I mentioned earlier, that does not have vowels in it. I have no idea how YHVH, YHWH, or JHWH should be pronounced. I don't know. You don't know, and whoever might be talking to you, he doesn't or she doesn't know either, I'll be honest with you, because we don't know. We cannot pronounce a word that doesn't have vowels in it. The exact pronunciation of YHWH and their vowels was preserved and handed down only by oral transmission from one to another generation, so forth on the way down. These vowel signs were not written down until someone around the 6th or 7th century A.D. So after the death of Christ, 600 or 700 years later. At that time, the Jewish scholars of the day, who were known as Masoretes, created symbols to represent the vowels that they were using by oral tradition. So this was 600 or 700 years after Christ, and perhaps thousands of years, or not thousands, but 1,000 years or so after the Jews quit even pronouncing the word, so it was not passed down from generation to generation. After one generation of not verbally passing it on, they would not know how to pronounce it. So here we're talking about centuries later. Have any of you ever played what we call, I used to call a little red hen? And everybody would get around, you'd get a group, and everybody would get around in a circle, and someone would write something down on a piece of paper, and they would read it verbatim to the person next to them. And then they would turn, they would whisper it in their ear, and then they would turn, and they would whisper what they heard to the person next to them. And then they, in turn, the person, and so forth, and it'd go all the way around until it came back to the person on the left side of the individual that wrote the note. And then the person on the left side would quote what was told him of what originally was written on the paper and told to the first person. And it's extremely comical. If you've never played Little Red Hen before, it's really something. It's generally nothing has to do with even the subject of what was written down. And of course, they've got the piece of paper where they can read the difference, you know, once it goes around several people. So here we are, centuries later, and they do not know how to pronounce the word. Whenever the Jews recited the text, they, in the Hebrew Old Testament orally, they substituted the word for Adonai, or Adonoi, our Lord in English, as we call it. The King James Version uses, as I said, L-O-R-D in all caps for Yahweh, or Y-H-W-H. Sometimes the Jews recite Meox, or Elamin, or Elohim, instead of Aphoi, or Y-H-W-H also. This practice began long before the time of Jesus Christ. The original vowel points for Y-H-W-H are not found in the text. Later on, the Musoretes, when encountered the word Y-H-W-H, inserted the vowel point for Adonai, or Elohim, into the word YHWH. This gave the synagogue ruler, or the reader of the text, the clue to pronounce either Adonai or Elohim, or Elohim, instead of YHWH. Yet later again, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, the Catholic Church, under the influence of Pope Leo X's confessor, I didn't know. I guess popes are so righteous and so perfect that they can't confess anything, so they have a, quote, professional professor to profess sins or whatever for them. I don't know. But anyway, his confessor, Peter Gatlin, without a complete understanding of the scriptures or Hebrew language or text, took the consonants YHWH combined with the vowel points of Adonai or Adonoi and made up the word Jehovah. Apparently, Peter Gatlin was followed in the use of this hybrid form by Phagaeus. But it seems that even before Gatlin, the name Jehovah had been somewhat in common use. It's found in Raymond Martin's book, which was written in 1270 A.D. from the Jewish Encyclopedia, it says. Most Hebrew scholars today admit that the exact vowel sounds and pronunciation of YHWH are not certain. They don't even know for sure what the consonants are, much less the vowels. Even the consonants are not sure, whether it's YHVH, YHWH, or JHVH, or JHWH, they don't know. Any of those could be possible. If someone tells you that they know how to pronounce it, one should ask the question, well, how did you make that random decision? Because even the Jews admit they do not know how it was pronounced. They've lost that tradition that was passed down, and they do not know. And until Christ returns, we probably will not know precisely how it was pronounced. This Yahweh or Yahweh or whatever it is a transliteration into Greek by some early church fathers several centuries after the New Testament was written. Other scholars disagree with this, and they feel that it is pronounced Y-A-H-O or Y-A-H-O or W-O or Y-A-H-U. Sounds like a internet search engine to me, Yahoo. But there's a certain way, you know, there's no certain way to know. We do not know how it was pronounced unless God reveals it. The New Testament does not preserve and show us how it was pronounced. The Bible uses several names for God in the Old Testament based on YHWH, and I later will refer to that as Yahweh, but let's see. But the name was basically lost. In Jeremiah, we find that I think it was a... Whoops. I'm sorry, let me back up here to these names. Had my paper wrong. The first one is Yahweh Jireh. The name is translated as the Lord will provide, commemorating the provision of the ram in the place of Isaac for Abraham's sacrifice in Genesis 22. Yahweh Nesi, this name means the Lord is my banner, in honor of God's defeat of the Amalekites in Exodus 17. Yahweh Shalom, this phrase means the Lord is peace, or the Lord is my peace. The name Gideon gave the altar when he built it at Ophrah in Judges 6. Yahweh Shaman, this phrase expresses the truth that the Lord is there, referring to a city which the prophet Ezekiel saw in his vision in Ezekiel 48. Yahweh Tibioth, this name is translated the Lord of Hosts and is used in the days of David and the prophets witnessing to God the Savior who is surrounded by his heavenly power in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 3. Yahweh Alo Israel, and the name means the Lord God of Israel. And it appears in Isaiah, Jeremiah, it appears in the Psalms and other places. Other names that are similar are Nestesh, Israel, the strong strength of Israel in 1 Samuel 15:29, and Abrir, Israel, or Ibul, I think is actually the way it's pronounced, Ibul, the mighty one of Israel, in Isaiah 1 and verse 24. But YHWH is but one of the many names of God in the Old Testament. Its exact meaning, like its exact pronunciation, like its exact consonants, is not known. It appears to be derived from a Hebrew root word meaning to be, or like he told the Israelites, I am. It means to be or to exist. Perhaps the most understandable way that it conveys into our English language is the eternal. In Genesis 21 and verse 33, equates YHWH with, quote, the everlasting God. Many other names that reflect God's character and attributes are found in the scriptures, showing that they are all appropriate to refer to God as such. Some names are God's titles, and others are positions and shows his authority, and some are his names. He's called the Ancient of Days. He's called the Most High. He's called the Redeemer. He's called the Creator. He's called the Father, the Savior, the Lord, and the King, among many other names it does appear. Another important name is Elamin, or as we normally say, Elohim, or which is typically used to convey the sense that one supreme being who is the only one true God, as Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary says. It's commonly written in many translations simply as G-O-D, God. What name should we use? The direction I think that we should take is clearly laid out by Jesus Christ. I think he set the example for us. It's really not as difficult as a lot of people want to think it is. As noted above, he used the name of God, commonly understood by his audience. He used God's name in their own language, not just the Old Testament Hebrew. As a matter of fact, YHWH does not appear in the New Testament, period. Not one time. Nowhere. Jesus' example really should put the question to rest, I feel, because God inspired all of the writers of the Bible to do the same as Jesus did, using words for God that their readers would understand in their own native language. The original text of the Bible contains not only Hebrew and Greek, but also Aramaic and Chaldean, as I mentioned. You remember Acts, the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, when we had 16 different nations, nationalities, and people that were gathered together. And it plainly says that when one of the apostles, Peter in particular, spoke, it says that each of those 16 different nationalities heard in their own tongue. They heard it in their language. And so when Peter mentioned Jesus Christ, they heard it in, not in Hebrew, unless they were Hebrew. They heard it not in German, unless they, you know, they did hear it in their native tongue. And so it says everyone heard them speak in his own language. And so when he referred to God, it was translated by God, by a divine miracle, into their native language. Let's look at some more names of God, and let's see if the word G-O-D, God, in English actually comes from a pagan source. Do you know that the Bible may have actually prophesied that the true pronunciation of God's name would be lost? Notice Jeremiah 23 and verse 25 through 27. Jeremiah 23 and verse 25. We have heard that the prophets have said, who prophesies lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, oh, God talked to me, and God showed me in this vision, or God was in my heart and said such and such. I have dreamed. And he said, how long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The Jews in Jeremiah's time understood the pronunciation of YHWH, but the dreams of their false teachers, of their priests and their prophets, misled them into believing that YHWH was such a holy word that it should never ever be pronounced by a human being, that it was just too holy to be uttered, and that it was so holy that it would be a sin for any man to say it. So they stopped using it. And after centuries, its true pronunciation, as I mentioned, was lost to us. But Jesus, when he returns, perhaps he will restore that pronunciation that may be part of the prophesied pure tongue or pure language that's coming. I don't know. But if some are so concerned about the exact pronunciation, they would need to know exactly how the Creator pronounced it to Moses when he introduced himself to Moses. Even Ezra, who edited and compiled Moses' work later, would have only had the quote tradition as to the source of pronunciation of what Moses wrote. Even today, Jews in various parts of the world have different pronunciations for the Hebrew vowel and even some consonants. In Judges, the 12th chapter and verse 6 indicates that there were variations in the dialect at the time between those around the Nile and those at the Euphrates, where when they were asked to say the word Sibboleth, and the Ephraimite would say Sibboleth. And we need to ask our resident Great Britainer how she pronounces it. But then they could tell that they were not the right people, and so they then would put them to death. If Yahweh must be used, or Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever, YHWH, must be used in referring to the Creator and is required for salvation, as is taught by some, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not be in God's kingdom. According to Exodus 6 and verse 2 and 3, it says, "And Elohim," or Elamin, "God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord." And again, that's Elohim. "I appointed to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, as El Shaddai," which means God Almighty, "but by my name Lord," YHWH, all caps, "I was not known to them." So the Creator plainly says that he was not known by that name prior to the time of Moses. So if pronouncing the name YHWH properly is necessary for salvation, then righteous Enoch, who walked with God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those, any others before Moses' time, will not make it into the kingdom of God. If the name YHWH was known in the Hebrew society before Moses, you would expect to find some people's personal names that contained it, similar to YHWH before Moses' time, but you do not. We don't have no record where instances of any personal names were before that. But we do have record of El, or Shaddai, are found. Examples is we find in Genesis 5 and verse 12, Mahalalel and Abimael in Genesis 10, and many others that are there. Genesis 28:19 and Genesis 17 and verse 1, Numbers 1 and verse 6. But no names using YHO, YAHWO, or YAHU, or any derivation of YHWH are found in the Bible or in secular history before Moses' time. If we study the Bible carefully, we find that the Creator has numerous names and titles, and it provides no restriction or command not to translate those names into other languages. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to use only the Hebrew form of God's name. In fact, we're given many positive examples of those names and titles being transferred into other languages. There are portions of the Old Testament where the Aramaic is the original language rather than the Hebrew, such as Daniel 2, and as we found out earlier in Ezra. But nowhere in these portions of the Aramaic do we find the Hebrew words for the deity, YHWH, but instead we find the Arabic form, Ella. And if we examine the New Testament, we find a very similar story. No Hebrew names of God are found anywhere in the New Testament. The Greek terms theos, for God, and kurios, or Lord, are used. When quotes are made from the Old Testament into the New Testament, the word kurios is substituted for what would have been YHWH in the Old Testament. An example would be Matthew 3 and verse 3, which is quoted from Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Where in Isaiah, it's the Hebrew term, YHWH, and when it's quoted in Matthew 3 and verse 3, they substitute then the theos in its place, the Greek word. Unfortunately, there's been some who try to present some convincing sounding arguments that the New Testament is corrupted, therefore unreliable, that the scholars back when they were translating the original text, and by the way, we have no original text. I don't know if everybody knows that, but there's not one existing, quote, original text that like Paul wrote, that Luke wrote, and so forth, but we have hand-me-downs of those texts. But anyway, there's not one that contains in the New Testament the Hebrew word for God. But they try to say that the New Testament then was perverted, and when the translators got their hands on it, that they took out YHWH and put in the Greek word or the Aramaic word for God. That's quite a monumental task. There are over 5,000 manuscripts of the Greek New Testament, not to mention some 8,000 plus manuscripts of the New Testament that is written in Latin, translated from the Greek. This would have been a greater task than humanly possible prior to the days of computers. First of all, they'd had to go all over the known world, gather every manuscript that they could find, all of these, and then make the changes and so forth, which, again, would have been totally unbelievably way to do it. The editors would have a monumental task because they never would have been able to do it, to take out and remove all traces of the Tetragrammaton from all of those manuscripts and substitute the Greek kurios, meaning Lord, or theos, meaning God, in its place. People that preach this doctrine must think that God is awfully, awfully weak, that he's not able to preserve even his own holy name in the New Testament. And obviously, Christ apparently was just as powerless as the Father was as well, because it doesn't appear one time in the New Testament. Kurios occurs 665 times in the New Testament. Theos occurs 1,345 times. This, like I said, would have taken a Superman to be able to do this type of editing. Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." And if he said this and his intent was that YHWH word was so important, then it would have been allowed to remain in the text of the New Testament. God's word, the Bible, has not been tampered with in this way at all. And if it was changed in one area of the world, there would still be plenty of other manuscripts backing up and showing the correct rendering in other places. Satan would like for people to believe that the New Testament has been corrupted, and so he can eventually destroy their faith in everything else that God has revealed through it. We need to be beware when somebody says that the New Testament is a bunch of junk, when they say that it's corrupted, because you know, if you got a theory, and YHWH is, you got to have that, and so, well, we got to do away with the whole New Testament because the word doesn't appear one time, so something's got to be done. But anyway, we need to be beware. Also, we find that the Apostle Paul spoke Hebrew, and yet in all 14 of his books, he does not use the Hebrew Tetragrammaton, YHWH, a single time. The Apostle Peter uses the Greek forms of Jesus Christ in English. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 10 through 12, says salvation is only through the name of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Yeshua or Yeshua is not used here at all. The Holy Scriptures inspired these words to be written in Greek, not Hebrew, not Aramaic. God's Word nowhere says that it's wrong for people to read the Bible, which includes the name of their Creator, in their own language. Nor is it wrong for them to refer to their Creator in their own language in preaching or in praying either. Salvation is not based upon some secret code or some secret word or some mysterious pronunciation. YHWH basically means the self-existent or eternal, the ever-living one. Some translate it as the eternal. Peter healed a cripple by commanding him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to rise up and to walk. And it shows that there was a tremendous power and authority in that name of Jesus Christ, whether the name is in Greek or it's in English or Hebrew or any other language. People were healed, demons were cast out, great miracles were performed in his name. Jesus himself spoke Aramaic and probably Greek, because Greek was actually the language of business at the time. And of course, he was a carpenter and carried on business, and so he undoubtedly spoke Greek. And I suspect that he probably spoke several other languages as well. I don't think he would have had any difficulty speaking other languages, either by education because of the sharpness of his mind and so forth, or by divine miracle if it was necessary. The apostles were inspired to record his words and his actions in the Greek language. Christians are baptized into his name and carry on the preaching of the gospel today by his authority, of his name. And they have the Holy Spirit to accomplish his will. All that our Heavenly Father has done in his church today would not be possible if his people and his leaders were failing to pronounce his name correctly in Hebrew, if such was required for respect, for salvation, or to be pleasing to God. Jesus said that he came to reveal the name of the Father to his followers. Yet in all cases where he spoke, in all cases where the apostles wrote of Jesus in the New Testament, we find no trace of any reference to the Hebrew word YHWH. Jesus revealed the way of life to his disciples that the Father would have been pleased for them to live and to lead. Christ said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." Is the English word G-O-D pagan? Some sacred name groups contend that to use the English word God is a sin, that it stems from paganism. The reasoning is because the word God was used by the ancients in referring to idols, and it should not be used today in referring to the great high, almighty creator, heavenly Father. Let's take a look at Romans 1 and verse 21 through 23. Romans 1, 21. Although they knew God, theos, they did not, and throughout, as a matter of fact, everywhere God appears here that we're going to read is theos. Although they knew God, theos, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And then in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain theos in their knowledge. So the world once knew God, and they knew that name, but they changed his glory into an image of idols. And they put the names of the Creator onto those idols. I guess they thought and they knew that the true God had tremendous power and worked miracles and so forth. So if they could then put that name onto my idol that I have carved out here, or this chunk of gold, or this piece of wood, or whatever it is that we're going to worship, then that will give that idol more power, and we can pray to it in that name, and then it will give that particular idol more power. The Hebrews word Elohim, which is has a couple of meanings. It means gods, plural, or God, plural, God kingdom, or it can mean the God family. It's used 240 times in the Old Testament to refer to idols and pagan gods. The word Elohim or Elam. And in two places, it's actually translated as goddess. The Hebrew word El, which El stands for God, translated once as idol and 15 times as small g god, refers to pagan gods. The Hebrew word Eloi is used 5 times to refer to heathen gods. Ezra and Nehemiah were inspired to use the Arabic word Eloah 16 times to refer to pagan gods of the Aramaic-speaking people. So considering these things, and using the same logic that the sacred names groups use to say that the word, quote, G-O-D, is pagan and sinful to use, simply because our ancestors used it to refer to pagan gods. Well, the names that God gave in the Old Testament, they also used those, so we'd have to throw those completely out the window too. Yet God allowed the prophets of old to use the very same Hebrew words for both himself and for pagan idols. We should also consider that although the Babylonians had a god named Baal-Wal, pronounced G-A-W-D instead of Gad, this does not mean that our word God is derived from that source. It is not. The term God in the ancient Anglo-Saxon comes from the word good or gud, or as is today in the German, gut, sehr gut. Guten Tag means good day. This term actually comes from the Hebrew word G-U-W-D, gud. When Israel went out of captivity to the Assyrians, both Israel and the Assyrians used this word in their language. Baal-Gad, or Gad, does not come from the same source as Gad, or good, even though they might similar sound and seem to be connected. They are not of the same logistic roots. Other names in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was inspired to translate the Hebrew YHWH into the Greek word for theos. The other words for the Creator used in the New Testament are the Greek for logos, which means the word or the spokesman, kurios, meaning Lord, and Christos, meaning Christ or the Anointed One, and Isaias, meaning Jesus. But nowhere in the New Testament, as I said, in any of those thousands upon thousands of manuscripts, do we have the Hebrew word YHWH appearing. Some claim that the Greek word meaning Jesus came from a pagan Greek god, Zeus. I believe Zeus was the head god. They had hundreds of gods, but Zeus was the head over all of the gods. And they say that the word Jesus came from Zeus. This is an error also. The Greek word Zeus and the Roman word Jove are both ultimately derived from the Hebrew, interestingly enough, YHWH. So that really shoots the sacred names doctrine in the head, because what they erroneously claim is actually the total opposite. The Greeks and the other pagans did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and they took the names of God and they attached them to their pagan idols. And of course, we already know that the ancient Hebrew-speaking people did the same thing by calling their gods El or Baal or Baal, and some simply called them Elohim or Laman. The name Jesus or Jesus may very well be derived from YHWH, but we do not know whether it is or not. I don't know, but there are scholars that think that that is derived from that term. Some claim that the Greek word meaning Jesus, it's interesting though that the Greeks were very concerned about how they worshiped and prayed to their primary god Zeus and how he was addressed. Pagan religions felt that all 53 names for Zeus had to be mentioned by supplication when you prayed to him, or he would not respond to your prayer. So when you prayed to Zeus, you had to refer to him with all 53 of his names. So getting the name just right seemed to be very, very important to the pagans and to paganism. And I wonder if that's where we get so much importance of some today. Jesus declared himself as God's son 12 times in the New Testament. The name of God's church is stated the church of God, Theos. Jesus prayed that the Father would keep those whom he had given him to Jesus in the Father's name. The Father's family name was and is God in English. In Greek, it's Theos. In Hebrew, it's YHWH. Jesus called himself the Son of God, the Son of Theos, numerous times in the New Testament. He said he came in his Father's name by his authority on numerous times too, in numerous occasions. Before we can accept the theories of some that it is a sin to use anything other than the Hebrew word Yahweh, YHWH, whatever, and that is the only word that we can use for salvation, and the only way that we can make it is to be able to pronounce that one word properly, we need to recognize the overwhelming proof and evidence that is contained in both the Old and the New Testament to the contrary. If you have any further questions about God's sacred names, I really do suggest that you speak to our pastor, Mr. Holliday. Roy has hundreds of pages of documentation about sacred names and can help you tremendously if you do have any questions about it. He knows a lot more about it than I do. So I hope this wasn't too boring. I know it can get to be kind of mundane as we go along, but I think it is important because I hope it's been very, very profitable for you. And if someone does come along, don't be carried away with every wind of doctrine and get carried away because somebody says, oh, you got to pronounce this just so-and-so, and then you're going to be in God's kingdom. So beware and understand truly what God has to say.